Blog Talk Radio.
Remember sitting in class in high school or junior high or whatever it was, and it's always exam day, it's real quiet, and you're sitting there, and then there's that one kid who's just got the sniffles the whole time. He's just and everyone just wants to slit that kid's neck.
Damn.
Was that extreme?
I don't know. Came to bring it today, huh?
I mean, because I'm gonna poke fun now. If you listen to me, my sinuses are clearly under construction. It's a work in progress. So, for people to have to listen to this, just, I know you're going to hate me right now.
No.
But guess what? I don't care. Thirsty Thursdays.
That's right.
On MI Prep to Pros.
It is. And by the way, before you go, you sound just as good as you look, man. You're A-OK.
But I don't sound good, so I'll take that. You know what? I'll take it. I'll take it with a smile. That's right. This is Thirsty Thursdays with Nick Buckler, Jerry Mack from Mac and Candel on Tuesday nights here.
What's happening?
He's with me.
That's right.
You can listen to some great podcasts, actually, pretty much every day of the week, Monday through Thursday, right here on the MI Prep to Pros podcast, Sports Talk Network. I'm adding words. Don't care. Long hair. No hair. Don't care. Yeah, that's right. You got Kicking It with Kassar Monday nights. He's always talking football. He's probably the only cool Viking fan that will allow to any actually root for the Vikings, but he always does a great job on Mondays. Obviously you and Nick Candela, Mac and Candela, Tuesday nights, and then the BS podcast on Wednesdays with Ben Smith. And then John and Paul were here a little earlier.
Yeah. Now they'll be moving.
Oh, they are.
They will be moving. Yes. News executive.
Where are they going?
Announcement. Breaking news. John and Paul, not the John and Paul show, but John and Paul. They'll be moving
to Texas.
Tuesday. Texas Toast Tuesdays.
Got it. Word. Yeah. So, and then obviously you can cap it off with a nightcap, fill up that mug, talk some sports. Thirsty Thursdays with me.
And we are adding one more on Thursday to replace John and Paul. Oh, yeah. This thing's growing, man.
Oh, man. Welcome, tell me more.
Welcome to the MI Prep to Pros podcast family network, man. It's the MIP to P Network, a family podcast here.
We got you, fam.
Yeah. We're adding a new Thursday night podcast. Deshaun Davis and Nick Candela will be taking the reins on the Thursday episode.
I dig it.
The other one.
I dig it. Looking forward to hearing what those guys have as well.
Yep.
We got a lot of fun, real fun things for you here tonight. And it's a little bit of a shortened version, but, you know.
We are.
Small.
That's my fault. Producer
no.
Mac, my fault.
Incorrect. We're not letting anyone take the fall here on Thursdays.
You're a good man.
The only thing falling will be us after we drink too much. Lions, they're in first place. No, that's right. You aren't drunk yet. You are hearing that correct. 8-4. Yeah. First place, Detroit Lions. They have what is an SOL kind of game coming up this week at home against the Chicago Bears.
Could be.
And they do have a kind of difficult schedule coming ahead, the final four games of the year.
They do.
The two road games at the Giants and at Dallas, who's won 11 straight games and really looks unbeatable. However, they're due to lose. And their defense is...
Dallas, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I agree with you.
The Lions are also due to lose as well. But, I mean, who knows? Who knows? DeAndre Levy, though, I want to talk about him. For the last 3 weeks, they've said, he's going to play this week. He's probably going to play. And then you didn't hear anything about it for the New Orleans game. You just, he's inactive. And now they're starting to say, he's going to play this week. Jim Caldwell said, he might be a little rusty, but at the same time, they think he's going to play. Is he playing ever?
I think the anticipation grows. I think the anticipation is more believed this week, and I think it's closer this week than it has been in the past. I don't know. He doesn't appear to be limited at practice from everything that I've read, and I've been to a couple of them. They don't let us talk to them, man. I mean, they don't bring him out there during individual drills. That's the only time we're really allowed to have cameras on. So we don't see him practice, and then they bring him out there for team drills. And then before practice even ends, before the media session, they rush him back in. He don't want to talk. I don't know.
But he is always quick to post his article in, what is that, the Free Press or the News?
The blog, yes, the weekly.
Yeah.
The weekly article.
So
yeah.
He's.
Are you a fan of DeAndre? Are you angry at DeAndre Levy?
I wouldn't say I'm angry at him. I mean, obviously you have
bothered.
To look. Definitely bothered. I don't know if it's him is the reason why I'm bothered, but the way that they've handled the whole type of thing, it's just, is he playing again? Or is he, jerking with us? Is he dat-suking us, I guess, is what I'm going to say. Oh, CTE, all this. No, understood. You don't want to mess yourself up. Obviously, you still have a family. You still have a life that you have to live after football. And let's be honest, after football, looks like it's coming quite near for DeAndre Levy and players across the NFL just from these vicious, I guess, hits, you could say. But I definitely want – I mean, you just signed this contract. That's the part that gets me. Like, if you knew – going in, don't get me wrong, business standpoint, great job, DeAndre Levy. However, if you are planning on just – if this was a planned thing, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Can I throw this out
yes.
there? Not to cut you off, but can I throw this out there? Do you think by any means that Caldwell could be the one delaying this whole thing because
no
they're
doubt.
Doing all right and they want him to be 100 and they really don't want – any film on him until they bring him back. They don't want offenses to be able to scheme for him. Do you think Caldwell could be playing into holding him back a little bit? And Caldwell doesn't obviously talk about injuries or anything, so the only person left to take the fall would be Levy. Do you think that's possible?
Well, I agreed with you at first. I said, oh, okay, Caldwell could be a reason. However, then you started to say schemes and actual things that would make sense that a coach would do, and then that's where I said Caldwell isn't smart enough to do that. I mean,
okay.
I think Caldwell's one of the dumbest head coaches.
Interesting fact on that.
Okay.
And I'll let you continue, but
I
know he catches a lot of slack mainly for his in-game management, but
okay.
I just
lack thereof.
Or lack thereof, correct. That's what he catches a lot of heat from the fans, but the Detroit Lions lead the NFL in 2-minute scoring. They also lead the NFL in end-of-game scoring, as well as leading the NFL in comebacks with 7. And that's actually an NFL record. The last time it ties the NFL record, and the last time 7 was achieved was with Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens, and Jim Caldwell was behind that. I know that nobody wants to come back, right? But I'm just saying, for a coach that gets ridiculed with his time and game management, isn't that an impressive stat that he leads the league in 2-minute offensive scoring and in end-of-game scoring? That tells me that he's managing the game and controlling the ball near the end of half in games. It's pretty impressive.
No doubt. However, I do think he's somewhat incompetent. I just don't think that there's the level of blankness on his face. Like, when they're constantly last year getting screwed out of calls, like one that really is fresh in my memory was the Seattle game on Monday night. They're 0-3. They really need this game. It's a huge stage, and it looks like they're going to win. Calvin Johnson reaches for the goal line, fumbles the ball, and then I don't remember, was it Cam Chancellor or Earl Thomas, one of the two, just swats the ball out of the back of the end zone. Clearly intentional. All the networks said the refs got this wrong, and Caldwell just stood there blankly. If that were me, I would not let the game go on until I got a legitimate explanation or the officials huddled up together. To me, it's just I don't think he knows the rules of the game as well as he should. Obviously, coaches in Detroit have been burned on that before, dating back to Jim Schwartz when he took that time or challenged that play on Thanksgiving, I believe it was, against the Texans, the 80-yard run. He threw the challenge flag before the play was even over, and then the rule said you have to wait till the play is over. We cannot challenge this play. Therefore, the touchdown stands. You lose by 2 points.
And the touchdown was going to be reviewed anyways.
Right.
So that negated the
negated the
review as well.
So, it's just another thing of the level of football knowledge. I don't know. The football IQ might be there, but the actual – acting out the skills of – I don't know the word I'm really looking for here.
You want to see motion out of his face. You want to see him emotionally invested
into the game. He looks like he's just brain dead. And sometimes I feel he might
be. He's definitely the exact polar opposite of Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, no doubt. And I love Harbaugh. I love him.
That's fair.
Is it Detroit versus everybody? I'm starting to believe Detroit versus everybody. I really am. I mean, I know I'm a little dated to talk about Ohio State, Michigan, but I'm still pissed off.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know, that's right, man. We haven't seen each other.
We haven't. It's been a minute
since
and a half.
Before Thanksgiving.
I know. How
the
was
last
it?
Time? It,
did
it
you
was,
have a good Thanksgiving?
It was good. Thank you.
Good.
A lot of good food. The biscuits were great.
They were on fleek?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Yours was good?
Oh, swaglicious.
Good.
If that's a thing. It is
it
now.
It is now.
Oh, no doubt. It's Thirsty Thursdays. Anything goes. I mean, I'm starting to – at first, I thought Detroit versus everybody was just a bunch of crybaby, whiny Detroit sports fans, because ideally Detroit sports have some of the worst fans in the world. Most passionate fans.
I don't like Detroit fans.
Passionate, but unrealistic. Dumb. Thinks they're getting gypped out of everything. I'm starting
– Entitled. Can I throw that one in there?
Millennial. Oh, is that too soon? Sorry, millennials. Wait, I am one, however. Okay, anyways, let's not bring politics into this. It's just more so I'm starting to believe the Detroit versus everybody. When was the last time?
And this is in relation to
the Ohio State, Michigan.
The Michigan-Ohio State
game. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, you can go look at the officials. Three of them were ones in the Ohio State Athletic Hall of Fame. The other one's a lifelong fan of Ohio State from Athens, Ohio, who was not allowed to officiate the game in 06 because he said he would not be biased. All of a sudden, 10 years, I swear, I'll be fair. I promise, pinky promise. Listen, yeah. Did you hear me? Pinky promised. That's cool. Did you see the picture of the guy watching a touchdown, smiling, looking at him? Oh, and by the way, the head ref, did you notice every time he came out from a review or when he called one of those only two penalties for 6 yards against Ohio State, he looked like a disappointed father who just caught his kids like having a pillow fight naked. Damn it, kids. I told you, at least put your underwear on this time.
It would be a weird thing to
half
find.
Half the distance to the goal for South Michigan. It's like, come on, man. At least pretend that you want to call a fair game. By the way, that man was fired from the Big Ten. I think it was in 2002.
Indeed he was.
For bad officiating.
Bad. Real bad.
Yeah, we'll bring him back. And, what do you think? Maybe we just let him officiate the biggest game in our conference's history. Makes perfect sense.
I see that one still got you.
I'm sweating now.
You were fine when you came in. No, I'm right there with you, man. I think angry is fair. I was more bothered by this loss than the Michigan State loss last year with the way it happened.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
Just because it – yeah, no doubt.
And not anything to do with because of the magnitude of this game. I know, you know, the Big Ten championship was on the line versus Ohio State. It wasn't necessarily on the line against Michigan State last year, although there was heavy implications. So I'm there with you, man. I was more upset after this year than anything else. But I honestly couldn't bring myself to talk about the refs. I couldn't because of Michigan doing it to themselves.
Right, no
and
doubt.
It wasn't the two interceptions either.
You can't fumble the ball on the goal line.
Yeah.
You can't. The first interception, I don't get why people are thinking that was a horrible throw. Did no one see his arm? Horrible play call, and his arm gets hit.
By the way, that's the same play that got picked against Iowa. They threw that.
They thought it would work against
that isolated,
dumb
isolated route play action. It's a blind throw. He's either got to throw it to a receiver, throw it out of bounds. And he's a sophomore.
Right.
Made a couple of sophomore mistakes. Something I expected out of a sophomore quarterback going up against Ohio State, but they played well enough to overcome those sophomore mistakes
as well.
So, I mean, I get what you're saying of the refs still – it still hurt because they still played well enough to overcome those two picks.
And I'm never one to blame the refs, ever. But Detroit versus everybody, man. When was the last time you see a Detroit team getting a call that ideally cost the other team the game? I can't think of one.
Probably something in baseball. that's how
that pitch was just 2 inches outside and
right.
Tigers win.
Right, Verlander probably getting a called strike is probably my only
but,
thing
mean,
that
that's,
I can talk
small.
About.
But I mean, that's small.
But it's small, right? I'm
like,
not trying to say it's
like
not true.
When
I'm trying to show how
like
small,
the Red Wings
how rare
are,
it happens.
The Red Wings are known
yeah.
for just getting jipped.
Dogged. Especially
I mean,
around the net.
The
Wings
Canadian
dogged.
Officials hate. Well, I know in the 2000s they hated the reign of the Detroit Red Wings. And it was very obvious. If you ever watch a CBC telecast with Don Cherry and Coach's Corner, they hate the European puck possession style of play. Now look at the league. It's a puck possession, fast-paced European style of hockey. All of a sudden, now everyone loves it. Oh, no, well, now because your team has adapted, now everyone can enjoy this. I mean, it's just constant. The Lions just get gypped left and right. Michigan is shown to get gypped. Even Michigan State, who I couldn't care any less about, it gets gypped too. I mean, if anyone cared about the Pistons, they might be getting gypped, but I haven't watched a minute of their action or lack thereof this season to even care. So, I mean, it's just... I don't know. Detroit versus everybody.
You're tired of it.
Detroit versus everybody.
I get it. I get it. The league's crap on Detroit, man.
They do.
I can't debate nor argue that one with you. I can just stand behind you and nod my head and say, yep.
That's cool.
That's cool.
It's just, yeah. But you know what would be the ultimate jip show of them all? As if Jabril Peppers wins the Heisman Trophy.
Woo!
Like, why? Why is this guy a finalist? He's not even the best defensive player on his team. He might not even be top two. I think for sure Jordan Lewis is the best.
He's
mean,
definitely
I even
not
like,
the best defender.
I even like Gideon. McCray.
Ah.
No?
No. He can take a seat.
All right.
His open field tackling skills were subpar and embarrassing on the last three games. McCray got tore up. Stribling redeemed himself a tad bit with the Ohio
Stribling
State game.
Still is sketchy to me.
Yeah.
I feel like he gets lucky a lot.
And he
lot.
Had a decent game, decent against Ohio State, but McCray got torched a few couple of times. Bad. Open field, embarrassed, as well as Jabril Peppers. You know, and I was angry with Jabril Peppers. I don't know if you caught the Mac and Candela show after that Tuesday after the Ohio State game, but I put everything on Jabril Peppers. I did.
No doubt.
I think his lack of big game moment came from a lack of leadership.
As we saw after the game. I know you had strong opinions about that.
And I got ripped for it, too. Not a lot of people agreed with me. So I don't want to reopen that can of worms.
No,
but
right.
Going back to what you were saying, you know, Jabril Peppers is definitely one of the most talented, top five talented college athletes out there. So I guess I can buy the nomination, and they're going to invite five players this year. And
yeah, I mean, someone's got to fill the seat.
But he's not going to win it.
No,
I wouldn't
he
be
shouldn't
surprised
even be
me
top
if he,
three.
No, it wouldn't, and I don't think he would have if they only invited three this year.
Oh, no, no doubt.
I it would be surprising me if he finished higher than fifth in the voting.
To me, it's Lamar Jackson's trophy to lose. I mean, obviously, we saw tonight he wins the Maxwell Award, and that leads me to the question of the Maxwell Award is player of the year. But then what is the difference? Okay, that's obviously a difference. The Heisman Trophy shouldn't – okay, you won the Maxwell. You should win the Heisman, right?
Now you're talking my language.
What's the point?
What's the point?
Why do we have two?
See, that's the
– Player of the Year or the Heisman Player of the Year?
The Heisman's not supposed to go to the Player of the Year. That's the thing. The Heisman's not supposed to go to the Player of the Year. The Heisman's not supposed to go to the person who has the best stats. It's supposed to go to the person – who embodies the spirit of being the best college football player in the NCAA.
Then Jabril Peppers should not even be in New York.
Well, yes, he should. He's a top five talent.
Does he embody all that, though?
He doesn't. He shouldn't win it. He doesn't have the leadership. We talk, you know, that's he had the chance to win it against Iowa and Ohio State. He had the opportunity, but
he must have missed the flight.
His lack of leadership caused him to not show up, and so therefore he won't win it. But when you look at Jabril Peppers as a talent on the defensive, he's not the best defensive player in the league, but when he has the ball in his hands, he's electrifying. Talent wise, when you look at him athletically, he's a top five talent in the college football. So
very skilled. I do want to say Michigan Garrett Morris, he won Holder of the Year. How about that? So we got that going for
him. Was he clean all year?
Oh, yeah. Clean as a whistle. If you saw in overtime, the Ohio State game, he had some picks. She got those nasty mitts down there just scooping pigskin. Like it's going out of style. But did Penn State hopping Michigan bother you at all?
No, it was expected.
Right. But to me, I think if you – what bothers me, I don't care. I don't think it's a big difference at all. I think Penn State's going to get rolled in the Rose Bowl. Just rolled. They're not a good football team. They really aren't. They're above average. They're not good. But to me, I think that if you're going to have them jump an idle team, you should have ranked them ahead of them to begin with. Why don't you have Michigan ranked 6, or I'm sorry, 7, Wisconsin 6, and then Penn State 5, or vice versa, flip Penn State, if they're just going to hop an idle team anyways if they win?
Because they were setting it up for if they lost, and then they can legitimately put Michigan in the Rose Bowl ahead of Wisconsin, because Wisconsin wasn't going to jump.
You didn't think Wisconsin with a win would have won?
No.
Because did you think Wisconsin was a better team than Penn State? I do.
I don't.
I
think Penn State was legit, man. I don't think they were the best. I don't think they're the most talented team in the Big Ten, but I don't think Michigan State was the most talented team in the Big Ten when they won their titles either. We're dealing with a hybrid system. We're dealing with traditional college football meet millennial college football.
Right.
With the fact that, you know, the conference championships have always meant something, and you know, there wasn't even a Big Ten conference championship game, you know, before they went to a different system.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't. It was only been what, 5 years, maybe 6.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what? And I think it changed when they went to the national championship format, where 1 and 2 went in, or close to it, or you know, the year after that system changed. Right.
Do you then think? How do you feel about the matchup with Florida State for Michigan?
It's a good bowl game.
I think Michigan could win.
I think it was worst case scenario. See, and that's
I think it's a bad matchup.
I think it's intriguing. You're right. The thing about Florida State is that, you know, they're a team that's going to rely on skilled positions, and they're not going to have the time to be able to air it out and get the receivers behind our defensive backs. So yeah, I think this one could get out of control. I hope it does. You know, again,
I really do.
As a Michigan fan, it's not where I was hoping Michigan was going to end up. But
I was hoping
before,
for a Rose Bowl.
You know, but that was the thing. While everyone was hoping for the outside chance of Michigan getting into the college football playoff, by rooting for any of those scenarios, they were rooting for Michigan to be left out of the Rose Bowl. That was my problem with it. When the best place for Michigan to be was the Rose Bowl, and with the way it ended up, you know, that's the thing. They weren't going to leave the Big Ten champ out of the Rose Bowl, especially with Ohio State being in the college football playoffs. Tough break for Michigan.
Western Michigan.
What?
They get Wisconsin.
Yep.
They get the Cotton Bowl.
Yep.
They win barely against Ohio in the MAC championship, the Jerry MAC championship. Now, do you think they even have a chance against Wisconsin?
By definition, you mean...
Will it even be a game?
For 2.5 quarters?
I don't think it will be close. I really don't. I watched a lot of Western Michigan football this year.
Okay.
And to be honest, I'm not impressed at all with this team. They beat a hapless Illinois team. They squeaked by an above-average, okay, Northwestern team. And they beat up on the schools of the blind of the MAC. Their defense really
careful
was...
with the way you talk about my Chippewas.
Cooper Rush, okay. I dig it.
But you can bag on him. Just be careful with the way you talk about my Chippewas.
Oh, okay. Noted. Noted. But to me, their defense was exploited at times against Ohio. And Ohio has never been a team that scored points this whole year. And their offense at times looked awful. When they weren't throwing the ball to Corey Davis, no, those guys weren't really stepping up. The running game is great if they just run, but you can't just run. I mean, at times, don't get me wrong, they're a good football team, but not impressed at all. I think they're definitely overrated and overhyped. And I'm probably going to take some heat for this because people have loved PJ Fleck. It's a great turnaround. It's a great story. But to me, I think they're just going to get destroyed by a much better and bigger Wisconsin team.
I think what you're seeing with PJ Fleck is that he's a bigger local story than nationally. And I think people will see that now that they realize, like, wow, he wasn't even a topic of interest for Oregon or, you know, any of these schools that are
even
hiring.
Even Purdue.
And, of course, he's getting hyped around here, but he's a local sensation and a statewide sensation more than a national sensation.
He'll be back at Western next year.
He will, and I think that's great. Look, P.J. Fleck's going to get his opportunity, but I think it's great that he's going to stick around at Western. I respect that, and I think he'll be there for a few more years. I hope he goes as a Chippewa fan, and, you know, I hope he does leave, but, you know. With that being said, I agree with everything you said, and I'm not one of these people that are going to, you know, talk about how Western Michigan deserved to be put into, you know, the playoff. I'm not going to battle that. I'm not going to let anybody discuss that with me. They're way too far away. Look, I wouldn't even put them in as an at-large team if it was an 8-team playoff. I wouldn't put them in if it was a 12.
No.
Look, to be honest with you, I wouldn't put them in if it was a 16.
They're barely a top 20 team. Give me a good win.
And I get it. It's undefeated.
Akron.
And it's very, 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 very tough to do.
Toledo.
A lot of respect for being able to run the table.
Central.
Not something that's been done since Randy Moss and Chad Pennington did it with the Thundering Herd. Right? So, no, I don't think they're a national caliber team, but I wouldn't put too much investment into that MAC championship either because Western had everything to lose. Ohio had nothing to lose. You know, even though the place was filled with Broncos, you know, I think Ohio just came out and they were looking to prove something. And Western held on. It was still a good win.
No doubt. I mean, I rooted for him. I'm going to root for him against Wisconsin. But I'm trying to be more of a realist than an optimist.
It's interesting. You know, people had the same questions when Northern Illinois went down there to face. Did they have Florida State too in a Big Bowl game?
Let's take a look. See here.
Northern Illinois busted the BCS back when it was still the BCS, but they busted the BCS, and I'm pretty sure they matched up with Florida State in an Orange Bowl matchup, right?
It was the 2013 Orange Bowl.
All right.
Won 31-10.
Yeah. I think it was a game for like 7 minutes in the first quarter, but who was that? Lynch was their quarterback. For Northern Illinois for the Huskies.
Let's take a look. See, let's dig into this game. We got. Oh man,
I think they hung around for like 7 minutes.
Jake Owen played at halftime. If you're wondering, he had those barefoot blue jean knights rolling hard. Who knew you were getting a free show tonight? EJ Manuel was Florida State.
Yeah.
Man, I'm bad at reading on the fly.
Sorry.
I'm bad at reading, actually.
No worries. Let me take care of it. I'll look.
Yeah, it's up in front of me. You'll look it up and still get it up. Lonnie Pryor was the MVP. Who?
Lonnie Pryor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can't even find a quarterback. That's how good they played. They didn't even list the quarterback. Point of the story is Northern Illinois got ragged, destroyed, rolled, Seminole'd. 31-10 in the national spotlight. I don't want that to happen to Western. Everyone be like, oh, look, roll the boat, snap the oars, everyone. No, because they're good for what they were. Send them to the Alamo Bowl. Have them play Texas, 6-6 or whatever record they are. Have them play Michigan State, the 5-7 Spartans. Send them to Hawaii to play Hawaii at 6-7. Let them play a hapless team and end happy. Let them still think that they could have beat Alabama, who, mind you, is going to win the college football playoff.
Jordan Lynch, by the way. Jordan Lynch.
Not Paxton or Marshawn.
No.
Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn. Anyways, winter meetings, Tigers.
Yes.
They ended, and the Tigers didn't do a thing. Is their window now closed, closing, or has it been closed for a while, in your opinion?
Okay, I think we're running under 10 minutes left of this quickened version of the show, so I'm going to try and give you this as the quickest version possible, but you opened up something that I've actually been talking about since the Prince Fielder days.
Ooh.
And I got to be honest, I think Tigers fans, for the most part, are about 3 to 4 years behind this proverbial window.
I think I agree with you
where
you're about to go.
Because, look, this is outside of the fact that we don't know if the Tigers are going to continue to spend. This window, that window that everybody's talk about actually went out the door when they had to get rid of Prince Fielder. They did have to get rid of him. But another one opened up at that point, right? Like we're 3 or 4 years into another opening, and I don't think they're quite there yet, but this team went through a transition years ago. This isn't a new transition. The only potential transitioning happening with the Tigers is the fact that we don't know if they're going to just trim payroll or if they're going to slash it. Right? But as far as a transition goes, this team started its transition. I mean, think about the last, you know, we're talking about a transition from players like Carlos Guillen and Maglio Ordóñez.
Rondell White.
Right.
Huh?
Right. And that's a long time ago, man.
Higgy.
Right. And the tail end of that window was Prince Fielder. That was the tail end of that window. That window shut. We're in a new beginning. And that's why for me, kind of just going back to you know, not liking Detroit fans, me neither. Because let's be honest, man. I mean, this team is in the middle of a transition, right? With no expectations to win a World Series, yet can go out there and play above 500 ball, give you a fun time for date night or out with the homeboys, and not going out there and getting their asses beat 7-3 on a daily basis.
They can make your blackout fun.
This is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Right? And the same thing with the Wings, too.
Agreed, 100%.
You know, like everyone, oh, they should tank and get a draft pick. Listen,
no, those
man,
people need to shut the hell
knows,
up.
Everybody knows that the Wings are transitioning, and nobody's expecting them to win a Stanley Cup. It is unrealistic to have the expectation that a Stanley Cup is going to be won every year, right? And the fact of the matter is that you can still go down to Joe Louis Arena in its final year. You can still pay decent price for a seat in the house. You can bring your date down there. You can go to the casino afterwards. You can have some dinner afterwards, and it's still a fun night. And as a sports fan, it's still entertaining because your Red Wings are putting out an entertaining
part.
They compete. Exactly. So that's end of rant.
I love the rant. I agree with you 100%, which leads me now into our final question that I will ask.
Okay.
Which Detroit sports team of the Big Four will win the next championship? Out of the four teams, who is the closest? I've ranked my four.
I guess you got to go with the Lions. And then after that, I'd probably put the Tigers in the Pistons on the same level. I think they're in the same boat, same situation.
I don't think we're seeing eye to eye
and
for the first time tonight.
The Red Wings after that.
I put the Tigers farthest away.
Did you?
I don't know why. I'm a hater. I'm a hater of Alavila.
Hey, you know what though?
I'm a hater.
You're embracing it and admitting it, and I can't be mad at that, man.
I have the Pistons as the closest team. I really like what Stan Van's doing.
With
the closest to winning a title.
The team that can't win on the road versus the team that is.
Well, I didn't say they're going to win this year. I just mean of the four, they're the closest. The Lions still sketch me out. They sketch me out completely until they prove to me, which, I mean, obviously, they'll be like, yeah, all right, maybe next year I'll say you guys can win. And then they'll let us down.
And then they'll lose, though.
Just like this Sunday, if they lose to
no
Chicago.
No different than Giants fans.
I'll jump out of this cliff.
This week, though, man.
I'll jump right out
they're
of this
window.
They're
not going to lose this week. It's a home game, man. It's a home game. Put your mind at ease. Look, it might be close. I think the spread was only like 7, you know. But, look, there's not – I don't care – how shitty a teams you're talking about
Matt
out there.
Matt Barkley
is
the starting
quarterback. Listen. Whether you're talking about the NFL, right, whether you're talking about the Cleveland Browns or the Chicago Bears, which I think have combined for 2 or 3 wins total on the season, right?
Correct.
There still hasn't been very many blowouts in the NFL, and it's still a bitch to win on the road. This is a home game for the Detroit Lions.
Lions will win. I have them third. my bias of the wings puts them at number two. I still think just get hot at the right time.
With the wings?
Yes.
Okay.
Any team gets in the playoffs can win.
Okay.
People will argue and say, well, look at the Wings the last 2 years. Yeah, look at them. Okay? They're in. Okay? I didn't say they're going to win. I just say I think they're the second closest. Love me, hate me, kill me, hug me. I don't know. Just made that up. I don't know if it made any sense, nor do I care. I just think that Pistons, Wings, Lions, Tigers. When will we see a championship? Might not be for 10 years. I hope it's not that long for any of our teams. This city, I would love one. What has it been since the Wings in 08? It's the last one?
Yeah.
And then before that was Pistons in 04?
Yeah.
I don't count the Tigers 06 AL champs. That's not a World Series.
No, it's not a
But the city, like, roared, burned to the ground as if,
well,
not literally, but, I mean, they loved it. It was great. Maglio walk-off. The Tigers!
Yeah,
march to the World Series!
People will get behind their Tigers. The people do love baseball. Tiger fans are just fickle in this town, man.
It is what it is. It's great sitting here with you as always.
Yeah.
It's great.
It was fast, man. Too fast.
Too fast. Too furious.
Fast. Too fast. You had a lot planned for this show.
Oh,
we had limited time.
I think we covered almost everything. I didn't really talk to Red Wings today, but I mean, what's there to talk about? 82 games in a season. Didn't talk Pistons today. Don't worry, I never will.
I like your style, kid.
You can check us out on our Facebook page. Join the group. We'll add you. Am I Prep to Pros on Facebook. Search us. Find us. Follow us on Twitter. Am I Prep to Pros. Check us out. Jerry Mack, Nick Buckler. Thirsty Thursdays. Go fill that mug. Enjoy. Calm down. Chill out. Keep it real. Watch some sports. ESPN Classic. Reminisce on when the Detroit teams were good. Peace out.